Our message number 5, what are some ways a believer can lose his witness for Christ? Now remember, we are not saying lose salvation. We assume that the person is already a believer, so we are talking about backsliding, whereby his life no longer points people to the Christ of the Bible. So my answer to this question is, when he stops depending on God, that means he stops praying. That to me is the first sign. And then very soon he will stop service, and then worship, and then witnessing, and then losing interest in things spiritual. And before you know it, he becomes very absorbed in things carnal. Okay, that's what you find when you look at Lot, when you look at the lives of people today. That's when a person loses his witness for Christ. It is a very slow and gradual but certain decline. So if you keep on praying, you will keep on depending upon God to help you go through all the challenges of life, and that will help you to protect your witness for Christ. Of course, you must keep on studying the Bible, which is the most common way in your opinion. My opinion is lack of prayer. Right, basically, when a person does not pray, the person is saying to God, I don't need your help. I can live my life and witness for Christ by my own strength. That's why the Lord tells us to pray without ceasing. Never, never stop communing with Him. The moment you wake up, you speak to Him. All the way until you lie down on your pillow, and then you continue to speak to Him until you fall asleep. Then the moment you wake up, you continue to pray to Him. And then until you fall asleep, you continue to pick to Him. So when do you say your final amen? When you breathe your last breath. Right? Because in heaven, no need to pray. You only praise. Right? So, never stop praying. Now we'll talk more about this coming Sunday. Because we're talking about the Christian burger. Okay? The Christian burger. I hope you'll be hungry on Sunday. Which is the most common way in your own life? Okay, my own life, prayer. The moment I stop praying, I become so overwhelmed by work. I do not pray before I open my Bible to prepare my Bible study notes. I realize that I take much longer time than before. If I do not pray before I begin to prepare for my sermons, it will become very academic and it will sound very hollow because there is no conviction. It is from mind to mind when preaching should be heart to heart. And so in order for it to be heart to heart, it must first convict me, change my life, touch my heart, before I can preach it to do the same for others. So that's my experience for myself. How does a believer seek the Lord today? Study the Bible. You don't have to wait for God to speak to you like in the time of the Old Testament or New Testament before the completion of the Bible. When Abraham wanted to seek the Lord and hear God, you study the early chapters of Genesis from chapter 12 onwards. Do you know how he did it? Each time the Lord appeared to him in the land of Canaan, he built an altar. And that altar will remind him of what the Lord spoke to him that moment. And then a few months, weeks later, I do not know how long, but before the Lord next speak to him, after the Lord speak to him, he built another altar. Either he does that or he will name a special occasion after the son, after his He named his son after a special occasion. For example, after he went into Egypt, he sinned against the Lord by telling a lie to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh chased him out, gave him whatever substance that he obtained by his deception, because Pharaoh took his wife, because he lied, brothers and sister. And then when he came back, after he was kicked out, after he was humiliated by Pharaoh, do you know the first place he went to? He went back to the altar where the Lord first appeared to him. Now that's how he sought the Lord in those days, because he did not have the written word. But for us today, you have the written word. Anytime you want to hear the voice of God, you just open the Bible. In other words, we have more knowledge, data concerning God than Abraham, Isaac and Jacob combined. Because of the completed Bible. You have more knowledge of God than King David in his time. You have more knowledge than Malachi, because he only had all the Old Testament. We have both the Old and the New Testament as far as facts are concerned. But that does not mean that we have greater faith than Abraham. Just because we have more facts and revelation of God's word does not mean that we have stronger and greater faith. It should be. But because we very often do not believe in what we read and study and understand, that is our struggle and challenge today. Okay? So how does a believer seek the Lord today? Open the Bible. What are some of the more common ways to seek the Lord? Open the Bible and then you pray. Leaning upon God to help you. And what do you pray for? Pray for God's Spirit to illumine your heart and your mind. Because the Spirit of God is the one who will help you understand the Bible. So that when you begin to understand the Bible and teach the Bible and make the Word of God come alive, and people are blessed, you really sincerely with all your heart give God all the glory, because God really did help you. Without the Spirit of God illumining you, helping you, there is no way you can understand and interpret it correctly and teach it correctly the way you did. And that's why all glory must be given to Him when you learn to seek the Lord correctly. How do you seek the Lord in your daily life? I read the Bible. I have my own reading program for myself, to protect myself, to feed my own soul. That's what I do. Okay, I read one chapter of Proverbs every day. And then I read a few chapters of the Old Testament after that. And then I read another chapter of the New Testament after that. Because I want to read through the whole Bible another year. And then the next year, I'll probably start again, but with a little different, difficult emphasis. It depends on your own spiritual well-being at your point in time. You must develop and plan your own reading of the Bible program. Don't imitate and follow another person. Just like a baby must take baby steps and eat baby food. If you're a new believer, take baby steps, eat baby food. Don't try to eat another person's food. You may experience spiritual indigestion and you become very discouraged because you can't keep it up. It has to be day by day, day by day, day by day. And before you know it, it's one whole year already. And you will have read through the book of Proverbs 12 times through, because 12 months in a year. And then you have read through the whole Bible. And every time you read, you pray and ask the Lord to use the word to speak to your heart. All right, that's my personal experience. How do you maintain a spiritual well-being before the Lord, whereby all areas of your life are right with God and bring glory to His name? I pray for all areas of my life, all areas that the Lord has entrusted to me. I commit it to the Lord. And whenever that area arises, I try my best to make sure that it is lived according to God's word. And so at times when I quarrel with my wife, I pray for the Lord to prepare my heart and humble me and prepare the heart of my wife as I approach her and apologize to her. Things like this. All right, with my children, the same thing. Pray for their salvation. Pray for the Lord to protect them spiritually. Pray for the Lord to guide them. If it is God's will for them to find a life partner, pray that the Lord will show them. And then when I interact with them, when I talk to them, it is more than just what they do in their day-to-day life. But sometimes you've got to ask them and remind them about their spiritual life and their spiritual walk. Okay, this is a very good practice to have whenever you talk to someone. Sure, you may talk about general things about his life, but always bring in the spiritual. Okay, try your best to bring in the spiritual, because that's what Christian fellowship is. Christian fellowship must always involve the spiritual, otherwise there is no genuine Christian fellowship. So ask the person, how is your spiritual life? How is your prayer life? How is your service in church? Things like this. You can be more specific depending on whether you know the person well enough. That's what I do. Okay, I'm sure some of you may have your own answers. All right, there are a few extra questions from this afternoon. First, is it right for two Christians to like each other, to be together, just to test the waters to determine whether it is God's will for them? I believe it is fine, but it must be with the intention of getting married. You do not test the water by playing the fool, because you are very free, you do not know what to do, and you call the person out. I'm very free, I have nothing to do, can you go out with me? Alright, so your friend's name is called nothing to do. That is a terrible, terrible thing to invite a person out. Now, of course, we are talking about the opposite sex. You see, in relationship, you do not need two hands to clap. Don't ever forget that. You do not need two hands to clap in a relationship. That's why you find person A likes person B, but person B likes C, doesn't like A, right? So A likes B, but B doesn't reciprocate the feeling. But B likes C, and C doesn't like B. C likes A, but A doesn't, you know, that kind of thing. So you don't need two hands to clap when it comes to relationships. So don't play the fool with people's emotions. Never, never play the fool with a person's emotion. Especially if the person is emotionally immature. And you send the wrong signal and the person thinks that you like him or you like her. And you are in trouble if the person does not know how to respond when you tell the person the truth. My relationship with you is completely platonic. It is just a brother-sister relationship. When that person has something more, something deeper, and the person thought that all the signals that you've been sending is toward the direction, when in reality, you were just callous. So please be very careful. If you are two grown, mature believers, and you want to see whether it is God's will for you, please be very, very careful. Now, the question is, be together. Now, do not know what you mean by be together. Okay, be together. Is it going to somewhere outside together? Depends on the time and the place. All right, if you are both in the same school, if you are both working in the same office, you will obviously be together. Lunchtime, perhaps, and then you go home together, take the same bus or take the same train station, whatever it is, you'll be together in that sense. But always make sure that you are together in a godly manner. And don't give the people the wrong impression. Alright, if you are just simply platonic, don't send the wrong signals. Let it be very plain and clear. Don't mess with the person's emotion. You see, we go to school, we develop our IQ. How do we develop our EQ? Through relationships. And therefore, there are a lot of people who are very good in their IQ because they are very highly educated, but their EQ can be very, very low. So you better be very mindful and careful because the emotional quotient cannot be separated from the IQ. Right? When a person is emotionally messed up, he can't work, he can't think, he can't take exam, he can't do anything because he doesn't know how to handle rejection. He doesn't know how to handle pain of the heart. Okay, you and I know how the pain of the heart is something that can only be healed with the passage of time. There is no medicine for the pain of the heart. Okay, no medicine. Okay, you got a headache, you take Panadol. You got heartache, you take what? You know of a medicine that can take the pain away from heartache? Nothing. You see, in relationship, you know what it means, right? It means you hand your heart over to the other person. Okay? That's relationship. If the person says, I don't want your heart, you're in trouble. But I want to give. I don't want. That's what the relationship is, right? And you give the person's heart, the person holds it, the person squeezes it too hard, it's very painful. That means if the person's words are callous, because once I give you my heart, that means your words can cut my heart. If I have no feeling for you, when you say certain things about me, I don't care. You say I'm bald, I don't care. My wife says I'm bald, painful. Because she got my heart. True? Same words. You are bald. Same word, right? You are bald. God, I'm not bald. I still have few very precious, you know, very precious entity that used once upon a time looked like a very fully developed village. But now it is very, very sparse. So my wife says that it hurts. Why? Because she holds my heart. You say, I don't care. I just laugh and smile and move on. Right? That's what relationship is. You guard the other person's heart when the person says, I care for you. So if you are not able to cope with your own emotion, don't try to take another one. So you want to be emotionally involved, you make sure your emotion is stable before you enter into a relationship. Because you can't even cope with your own. Easily you cry. Easily you get hurt. Then when the other person, you want to take care of the other person's too? Because that's exactly what relationship is. You take care of the other person's relationship. You can be happy and smiling. Suddenly you get a phone call from her. I'm very sad. You're happy. Now the person is sad. What are you going to do? You want to have a relationship, right? So you cannot say, I'm very happy. Mind your own business. You cannot. Now you got to care. Right? That's what relationship is. So you take up your own and the other person. Are you prepared to do that? If you are not prepared to do that, please grow up first. Grow up before you get into any sort of a private identification. You want to be boyfriend, girlfriend? Don't. Go out as a group and see how each other's spiritual well-being are yet, and see whether your spiritual well-being and that person's spiritual well-being is compatible. It is very difficult for a girl who is spiritually more mature to be involved in a guy who is less, because the guy must lead. And if he is spiritually immature, how is he going to lead? Each time he's going to lead you in the direction of the world, and his ego will not let you speak up and point him, hey, you're wrong. He can't take it. Okay, so go as a group, see each other, test the waters as a group first, and see how things go from a distance. Go as a group before you go out together. Once you go together, you're going to be identified. Okay? So be very careful. When a Christian man and a Christian woman wants to be together, do they have to get their parents' blessing? Yes. Okay? That is honorable. Okay? It is better if the parents know you, seen you grow up in the church, because the parents already know who you are, know who your parents are. That is, to me, the best formula. Both of you grew up in the church. Best. But if that is not the case, then you have to introduce, because that's when the father, the mother will get to know you, to see who you are, to see whether you're suitable. Because we're not talking about a computer. We're talking about a life of a child, where the parents brought the child up since birth, and parents are prepared to die for the child, they live for the child, they spend their energy providing for their children. And then now you come in and say, I want to take your child away. Basically what it is, you know, if the child is a girl and you are a guy, you know what that means, right? I want to take your daughter away from you. Because on the day of wedding, what question do you think will be asked of the girl's father? Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? Give, you know. So basically, when you want to see the parent of the girl, you're basically asking the parents, will you one day be prepared to give your daughter over to me, to protect her, to help her grow spiritually, to feed her, to nurture her the way that you have been doing? And so if he sees in you, if they see in you someone who can do that, they know by the natural course of time, if the Lord tarries, they're not going to outlive you. And so they want someone who will protect and take care of the daughter's spiritual well-being. Very happily, if you are able to do that, they'll be more than happy on the day of the holy matrimony. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? He will shout from his heart and he will raise his hand the highest, because he knows you are prepared to die for her just as he is prepared to die for her. Right? So it is good that you show this honorable respect by asking the parents' blessing. Right? Because that's exactly what it is. How can a Christian man and a Christian woman who want to be together be a good witness for Christ? Okay, so do not do anything that has the appearance of evil. So cannot go on holiday together. Out of the question. Do not stay in the home of the person where it is only the both of you. And if you visit the parents' home, you never go into the bedroom unless with permission for some other reason, and you do so with the doors open. Okay, where the parents are home. If they are not home, you both of you can never be alone. So you take all precautions. Remember, abstain from the appearance of evil. Don't have to be evil itself, because you have to guard your Christian witness at all costs. The verse that talks about abstain from all appearance of evil is 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Okay, so please don't go out together. Don't find yourself in a room where it's just the two of you. And no holidaying together. These are non-negotiable. Okay, you guard your witness. You know how terrible it is if your relationship does not work out? You know how terrible that will be if it does not work out? Okay, just for both of you. As it is to go together, you already hurt the image of Christ in your life. And young people who know what you have done will be stumbled. So please, don't let that happen. Alright. How can someone decide whether to pursue a career if they find that it might require them to work on Sundays? Should such a profession be excluded from consideration? Doctors, nurses, police, firefighters, etc., etc. A lot depends on whether it is an option. For us in the Singapore National Service, it's not an option. All right, so we have to go in. No choice. Now, if you're a doctor, and I know many doctors and nurses, they will have to sacrifice a lot of Sunday. Okay? Now, the question is this. If it causes you to stumble your own spiritual life and you're going to backslide, change job. Change job. Seriously, I know there are some doctors who can. Now, if it is one Sunday a while, not all Sundays, not a lot of Sundays, maybe once in a blue moon. Not rare. I mean, very rare, not common. Fine, it's okay to be a policeman, a fireman, or a doctor, or nurses. I know the initial period can be very, very difficult, especially after you graduated, and then you have to be posted to this hospital and that hospital for a season of time. In those initial stages, it will be crippling. But after that, you have to make sure that you do not allow your Sundays to be compromised, because the Lord's Day worship is a commandment given to us by God as God's children. So change your job if the job requires you to work on a Sunday on a regular basis. If it's an exception, that's fine. Okay? You cannot say you cannot do it, you don't do it, you have to. Or if you're a fireman and the house is on fire Sunday, I cannot put out the fire, I'm sorry, please let it burn. You cannot do that. You've got to go there and put out the fire. Okay? If it is very, very rare, and it does not affect. Remember, Sunday was made for us and not us for Sunday. Don't ever forget that the Sabbath day was made for man. Do you know who is the busiest on the Sabbath day in the Old Testament? The priests and the Levites. The Sabbath day are basically for the people of Israel in the 12 tribes working the land. They must keep the Sabbath day. Rest from your labor in the field so that you can keep the Sabbath day holy and remind yourself of three things. Three things. Number one, keep the Sabbath day holy to remind yourself that you are a stranger and a sojourner on your way home to heaven. And whatever you do on earth, it is only an avenue for you to be a holy witness for Christ. Number two, keep the Sabbath day holy so that you can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Number three, keep the Sabbath day holy as a form of maintaining your witness for Christ. Work very hard from Monday to Saturday and remind yourself that one day I'm going to enter into eternal rest. So the week, the one whole week, is supposed to be a description of your life on earth from the day you are born again until the day the Lord takes you home. So Monday to Saturday, you work hard. And that is your life of service and witness for the Lord. And one day you're going to enter into eternal rest. And so you live by faith, trusting in the Lord to provide whatever you need from Monday to Saturday. And keep the Lord's day holy unto Himself. These three purposes are found in the Bible. I didn't make them up. Okay? So please choose a job, a profession that will not cause you to sin against the Lord and affect your witness for Christ. Finally, can you explain more what is the mark of the beast? How will we recognize it and what happens to those who take the mark? Now, the Lord tells us in the book of Revelation that anyone who has the mark of the beast will not be born again. So therefore, the crunch, the challenge for us will have to be very clear. It will not be something subtle and innocuous, whereby suddenly, if you're a Christian, you suddenly is given the mark of the beast. Whereby, I do not know the mark of the beast. It will be something that is very, very obvious. Now, exactly what it is, I do not know. Like, for example, if the mark of the beast is to be a homosexual, will you want to be a homosexual? No. Right? Very clear. The Bible says, if you are a homosexual, you will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. So it will have to be very plain, obvious, and direct. God will not deceive us It's very subtle, and then suddenly you do not recognize it. It will have to be very recognizable, because when you compare with the Bible, it is like night and day. You will know that if you cross the line, it is an evidence that you are not born again. Okay? So I believe, I don't know what exactly the mark is, but I know that it will be very obvious that if you do it, you're definitely not a Christian. Just like if you're a homosexual, you're definitely not a Christian. If you are a lifetime adulterer, a fornicator, you're definitely not a Christian. Okay, the Bible will make it very plain and clear to us. Because if you have the mark of Christ, you don't have the mark of the beast. You have the mark of the beast, you don't have the mark of Christ. Because in the book of Revelation, one of the judgments that God will send is that scorpions will rise up and they will target the people with the mark of the beast. And they are going to experience excruciating pain. So much so that even if they drink poison and want to die, they won't die. But those who have the mark of Christ will be spared. And if you think God cannot do that, you study the 10 plagues in the book of Exodus. Egypt suffered through all the 10 plagues, and the people of Israel in Goshen were spared. So when there was total darkness for 3 days in Egypt, where the people sat down and dared not move because the darkness was so thick and they all were weeping, wailing and fearing. But Israel was enjoying the normal night and day. As they look into Egypt, they see absolute total darkness for 3 solid 24-hour days. If you think that God cannot make a clear distinction in the day of great tribulation, He can. So what exactly is the mark of the beast? I do not know, but I know it will be very, very obvious that if you have it, the Bible will tell you very plainly and clearly that you are not a child of God. Not something innocuous and very subtle that will dupe us and deceive us. Okay? That's it. Thank you very much.